Blog Talk Radio.
And I am so excited because we have a great word. We are in the book of Judges, and we're getting ready to talk about Samson. Oh, my goodness, Samson, our friend who just, the ladies, I guess that's what I want to say. He liked the ladies, and the ladies always seem to be the wrong lady that he liked. You know, he loved him, his Philistine wife, who wound up being kind of a little cheater, but she didn't know any better, mainly. She really didn't. You know, in her case, she didn't know no better. And then he chose this thing, Miss Delilah, who knew better, and who was just scandalous. That's all I can say. She was scandalous. And let's call it straight. Girlfriend was ratchet. She was a ratchet, low-down, dirty mess. But then, again, God chooses whom to use for his glory. God chooses whom to use for his glory. And God, let's call it, used Delilah for his glory. He used Samson's wife for his glory. He used Samson for his glory. God chooses whom to use for his glory. And so let's get into our word this morning. And as stated, it is a great word. You know, I was going to try to blog while I was on vacation, and God would not allow it because he said, you're on vacation. You know, we all need some time to rejuvenate. We need time to rest and get ourselves in order. And so I had time, not necessarily to rest, but to just rejuvenate. It was wonderful being able to spend time with my granddaughter and her roommates and family, and it was our extended family. It was nice. It was a lot of fun. But some things happened while I was gone, and I want to give some shout-outs this morning. And the first one goes to my godniece, Chelsea, and her new husband. Congratulations on your marriage this past weekend. To my granddaughter and all of her friends that were with her, we had a great time at the Cartoon Network Hotel, but it was fun. Loved having dinner there one night where when you look on the wall, it looks like the cartoon characters are making your dinner, which is really kind of neat. So that was fun. And, you know, our favorite thing I did was visit an Amish farm and watch the kids get to feed the animals and milk the cow and hold the baby chicks. And it was pick eggs. They got to pick some eggs. It was a lot of fun. So anyway, thanking God for safe travels and thanking God for just being who he is, a wonderful and mighty God. And as we get ready to get in this word this morning, excuse me, little horse always happens early in the mornings, but normally before I get on the blog, but God will increase and it will improve as we go along. So just give me a little bit of time for it all to settle in and let's get started. Father God in heaven, first and foremost, thank you so very much for bringing us home safely, for taking us to and from the destinations, for making sure every family member that journeyed to celebrate my granddaughter Leah, that each and every one made it safely home. I thank you, Father God, for all things great and small come from you. And I thank you, Lord, for your gracious loving, your kindness toward us and allowing us to be able to do something special. Father God, I thank you for every person that calls in, listens in, and just stops by. I thank you, Lord, for you are the author and the finisher of everything, our hopes, our dreams, our faith. And Lord, I ask you to watch over and bless all of those that listen in live and listen in later, that they will get something out of this lesson. For Lord, this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am truly blessed to have this assignment from you, Lord God, to do your will in my life, not mine, but yours. Thank you, Father. I praise you, I love you, and I give you honor. And I give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God who is of my strength. I am grateful to be here today. I am grateful to be a child of God. I am grateful. God woke me up this morning. He woke me up, clothed in my right mind, because somebody did not wake up today. Somebody didn't get an opportunity to go on a trip, to come home safely from it. Someone did not get an opportunity to praise God today. So, Father God, I thank you from you. I choose this day who I will serve, and Lord, it is you. And I thank you. And the word again, God chooses whom to use for his glory. God does it. Not me, not you, but God. Let's get started. And this morning we are in the book of Judges, chapter 13. And we will be only Old Testament today. Tomorrow will be New Testament and Old Testament. We'll be back on track as of tomorrow. And it says this, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. For the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink. Drink no wine or similar drink. And she was like, hey, I'm with this. Because, you know, when you are in that time, your job was to conceive. Your job was to have children. And not to have any kids was a stain she felt on her husband and on herself. And it was not. It was just something that happened because, again, God was going to choose her to conceive. And this is what it says. And it told her, he said, unclean, for the child should be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Did he even falter in his belief that what his wife told him was the truth? Did he even think that what she was saying might have just been her wanting a baby so badly that she just thought this thing? Mm-mm. Well, she told him he had faith in what his wife said. Now, let me pray. People, my husband and wife, praying together. And it said, and God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah's husband was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. Excuse me. So Manoah rose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and its work? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman in her, be careful. Let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. In other words, her days of eating grapes and drinking wine are over. You know, no unclean meat, no anything. She had to be pure. She had to have it going on because God had chosen her for a great thing. And then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please tell you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you." And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name? Seeing it is wonderful." Y'all caught that right. So Manoah took the young goat with a grain offering and offered it upon the rock of the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." I hope y'all got it. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would have not accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Menahath Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And we are in chapter 14 of the book of Judges. And it says, so he went up and told his father and mother, saying, "I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife." Then his father and mother said to him, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at the time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother into the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there for young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Then Samson said to them, "Let me pose a riddle to you. If you solve and explain to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing." And they said to him, "Pose your riddle, that we may hear it." So he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet." Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband, that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so?" Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed the riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me." And he said to her, "Look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother, so should I explain it to you?" Now she had wept on him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it happened on the 7th day that he told her, because she pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. So the men of the city said to him on the 7th day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you had not plowed with my shelter, you would not have solved my riddle." Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. Now, come on now. How are you going to take somebody's wife and give it to another man? Shameless. But let's go back and do a few life lessons from this word. And it says, you are barren, Judges 13:3. You are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Why does God so often choose a childless woman to give birth to someone of great spiritual importance? Perhaps because such people are broke God's requirement for maximum usefulness. We have all been broken at some point and times in our life. I know from my brokenness came a ministry, came this ministry, and came a women's ministry, because we all go through it, and God uses us when we are messed up. I was messed up from the floor up, but God picked me up, dusted me off, and called me back into ministry. I am grateful because God uses and chooses who he wishes. Not me, not you. God is the one that chooses who he's going to use. And all you have to say is, "Yes, Lord." My heart says yes. God chooses whom to use for his glory. And it goes into Judges 13:8. "Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child." In the midst of a disobedient nation, Manoah and his wife stand out as a faithful people of God. They sought God's counsel on how to rear their child in difficult times, and God answered their prayers. Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. How many of our ordinary encounters are actually appointments with God's heavenly ambassadors? We will never know this side of heaven. That is one reason why we must treat every encounter as a divine appointment. Did y'all catch that? Every encounter as a divine appointment. For we do not know if we may be entertaining angels unaware. Desire to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering. The Lord does not desire to kill us, but to bless us. And he will bless us if we will take to heart his gracious promises and obey his word by the power of his Spirit. What a word. You know, and as we go into our word again, some life questions. Barren. Says, though things have changed in modern times, to be childless in ancient Israel was a terrible hardship. The barren woman was considered cursed by God. The very meaning of the word barren betrayed its dire consequences. It signifies that the family would be uprooted, that there would be no descendants, no successors. After all, children were considered God's blessing. In the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed or course, without children, there would be no one to care for the woman and her husband in their old age. There would be no grandchildren to delight them. The family line would end to her disgrace. It was this condition that the angel of the Lord, found Manoah's wife a failure by the standards of her culture. Yet his wonderful words changed her life. Now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Judges 13:3. From one moment to the next, God changed her situation completely. Perhaps you, like Manoah's wife, are wholeheartedly praying for a child, or maybe there are other things that God's promised you that are on your heart. Perhaps a spouse, a better financial situation, or even good health. No doubt it's difficult to watch as other people are so abundantly blessed with the very thing you prayed so hard for, and you may question why God made it so easy for them when they don't appreciate what they have. Yet, please understand, this isn't a competition. This isn't about who gets the blessing. First, rather, it's about who will honor God with what they've been given. God honored Manoah's wife with the birth of Samson, a man who would be very important to Israel. In Judges 13:5, the angel of the Lord declared, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. There were many other barren women throughout the Bible who were blessed to bear powerful men of God as well. Sarah, who gave birth to Isaac, Rebekah, who bore Jacob, Rachel, who was Joseph's mother, Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, whew, I love her, and Elizabeth, who delivered John the Baptist, among others. All of these men had a powerful part in God's plan, in the fulfillment of God's promise. And I'm going to add, let's not forget Mary, the mother of the Son of God, who bore our Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm going to add that in, a powerful woman of God who bore a mighty Savior. And it goes on to tell us from Dr. Stanley, although you're not yet received your request, God knows how deeply you long for it, and he's providing it for you in a manner that will show you his great and mighty power. God always works in the most adverse circumstances to build your faith and your relationship with him. So instead of despairing, ask God to show you his will and help you to be obedient to his plan. Make knowing him the object of your pursuit. Then thank God that when he fulfills his promise to you, you won't take it for granted. You'll know the priceless nature of the gift God's given you, and you'll honor him with it every day of your life. We got to give to God what belongs to God. I always tell you, pay your tithes, give your tenth, give your talent to God. The three T's, tithes, talent, and time. Our time, talent, and tithes, however you want to put it, them three T's are equally important. Judges 13:23, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering. And it goes on to tell us here in chapter 14:4, life lesson. His father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. Samson's desire for a Philistine wife clearly transgressed God's law. Yet God used even his disobedience for the good of his people. Note, however, that Samson himself never received a blessing for his rebellious choice. Never did. Now, Samson was something else. Let us continue in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 15 and 16:31. After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, let me go in to my wife, into her room. But her father would not permit him to go in. He said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not our youngest sister better than she? Please take her instead and Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines. If I harm them, then Samson went and called 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the fox tails to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the stalks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. Then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Temanite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Samson said to them, since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you. And after that, I will see. So he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the cliff of the rock of Edom. Now the Philistines went up and encamped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? So they answered, we have come to arrest Samson to do to him as he has done to us. Then 300 men of Judah went down to the cliff of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, so I have done to them. But they said to him, we have come down to arrest you that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines. Then Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not kill me yourself. So they spoke to him, saying, no, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you. And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax, that it burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaped upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called the place Ramoth Lehi. Then he became very thirsty, so he cried out to the Lord and said, you have given this great deliverance by this hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi and water out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore, he called the name Econ Hakor, which is in Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told Samson had come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him. And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faced Hebron. Afterwards, it happened that he loved a woman in the Valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah, and I call her Delilah the Wretched. And the Lord of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us would give you 1,100 pieces. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound them with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, The Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstring as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with. So he said to her, if they bind me securely with a new rope that has never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Therefore Delilah took new rope and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And men were lying in wait, staying in the room. But he broke them off, his arms like thread. Now, I ask you this. Wouldn't you have got it by now that every time you give her a secret, she tells you the Philistines are coming, and then you, what you said is shown to be a lie, and then she asks you again that something might be a little fishy about it, that something might not be quite right about it. But this man was not catching it. So let's see what happens next. So she wove it tightly. Let's go again. If you weave 7 locks of my hair with the web of the loom. So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, the buddy awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? That crying lioness, you have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, and my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled them to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair on of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, the god, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our god, now they bragging. You know, they think they done did something. Now, they all up in the braggadocious mode. We going to brag about this because we did something that they God didn't do. We got him wrong. It says, our God is delivered into our hands, Samson, our enemy. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land. The one who multiplied our dead. So it happened when their hearts were married that they said, call for Samson. Now they're going to mess with him some more. You know, this man of God who killed 1,000 with a jawbone of a donkey, they think they can do it. They think they got it going on because they lied and cheated and had a ratchet woman help them that they thought that they could do whatever they wanted to Samson. But God was using him. God had chosen him for a time as this. Don't mess with God. And this is what it said. They wanted him to perform for them. To perform for them like he was a trained monkey or something. And it was called for Samson that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them, and they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me free. Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them." Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may, with one blow, take revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed in his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. He also was a great judge. Even with his desire for women, he still was a great man of God. And let's go over a couple, few life lessons from these two chapters. And it says in chapter 15, verse 18, he became very thirsty, so he cried out to the Lord. Although Samson had many serious character flaws, he is included in the hall of faith. And God listened to his pleas for help. But imagine what God could have done through a wholeheartedly obedient Samson. Wow. Can you imagine? And as we continue, chapter 16, verse 15 of Judges, how can you say, "I love you," when your heart is not with me? You have not told me where your strength lies. It is easy to say, "I love you," but real love always wants the best for the other. Samson did not want the best for Delilah, nor did she want the best for him. Lust is a very poor substitute for love. Can I say it again to my folks out there listening? Lust is a poor substitute for love. Judges 16 and 19, she lulled him to sleep on her knees. Then she began to torment him. How quickly some love turns to torment. Spent lust often generates feelings of hatred more potent than the earlier feelings of love. And as we continue in Judges 16 and 20, life lesson, he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Think about it. Three times she had done stuff. She had asked him where his strength lies. Three times he lied to her, and God gave him strength to do what he needed to do. But that fourth time, his head was shaved. He couldn't do anything. For God was gone. And it says this, Samson had fallen so low spiritually that he could not tell the difference between the Lord's presence and his absence. While God's spirit will never leave believing in Christ, his blessings may. That hinges on our obedience. Our blessings hinder on our obedience to God. We have to be obedient, but understand that God is who chooses, not us. God chooses to use for his glory, and he chose to use Delilah. He chose to use Samson's wife. He chose to use his mother, Manoah's wife. He chose to use Manoah. He chose who to use for such a time as this. He even chose to use the Judeans who came and got Samson and took him down to the Philistines because he took that jawbone and killed another 1,000 of them. Samson was truly a man of God who had some issues. We all have issues. We all fall short. Nobody, and this is a word that God gave from our Psalms that I'm about to read. If time permits, we're going to go continue on in our word into Judges chapter 17. We're going to try to get all of our word in today up to the 27th. If not, we'll be continuing until we get all caught up this week in our word. And it says Judges 17, chapter 17, verse 1. Now there was a man from the mountains of Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and on which you put a curse, even saying, it in my ears, here's the silver with me. I took it. And his mother said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my son. So when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a carved image and a molded image. Now, therefore, I will return it to you. Thus he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the silversmith. And he made it into a carved image and a molded image. And they were in the house of Micah. The man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod in the household idols. And he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days, there were no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah of the family of Judah. He was a Levite and was staying there. The man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. And he came to the mountain of Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said to him, where do you come from? So he said to him, I am a Levite, Lehem in Judah, and I am on my way to find a place to stay. Micah said to him, dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes, and your sustenance. So the Levite went in. Then the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like a son, like one of his sons to him. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in his house, in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, now I know that the Lord will be good to me since I have a Levite as a priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites were seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. But until that day, their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor from Zorah and Eshtaol, to spy out the land and search it. They said to them, go search the land. So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. While they were in the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here? He said to them, thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest. So they said to him, please inquire of God, that we may know whether the journey on which we will go will be prosperous. And the priest said to them, go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way. So the 5 men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely in the mountains of Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. Then the spies came back to their brethren Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren said to them, what is your report? So they said, arise, let us go up against them, For we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. When you do nothing, do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth. And 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zorah and Eshtaol, armed with weapons of war. Then they went up and encamped in Kirjath Jearim in Judah. Therefore they called the place Manaiah Dan to this day. There is the west of Kirjath Jearim. And they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. And the five men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brother, "Do you know that there are in these houses an ephod, household idols, a carved image, and a molded image? Now therefore consider what you should do." So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. The 600 men armed with their weapons of war, who were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the land went up. Entering there, they took the carved image, the ephod, and the household idols and molded images. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. And when these went into Micah's house and took the carved images and ephod, the household idols, and the molded images, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Be quiet, put your hands over your mouth, and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the household idols and the carved images and took his place among the people. Then they turned and departed and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. When they were a good ways from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan. So they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you that you have gathered such a company?" So he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, 'What ails you?'" And the children of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Then the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. So they took the things of Micah and made him the priest who had belonged to him, and went to Laish, to a people quiet and secure, and they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer, because it was far from the sea, from Sidon, and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belonged to Beth Rehob. So they rebuilt the city and dwelt there, and they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved images, and Jonathan the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved images, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite staying in the remote mountains of Ephraim. He took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him and went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah and was there 4 whole months. Then her husband arose and went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back, having his servant and a couple of donkeys with him. So she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the young woman saw him, he was glad to meet him. Now his father-in-law, the young woman's father, detained him, and he stayed with him 3 days. So they ate and drank and lodged there. Then it came to pass on the fourth day that they arose early in the morning, and he stood to depart. But the young woman's father said to the son-in-law, "Refresh your heart with a morsel of bread, and afterwards go your way. So they sat down, and the two of them ate and drank together. Then the young woman's father said to the young man, please consent to stay all night, and let your heart be merry. And when the man stood to depart, his father-in-law urged him to, so he lodged there again. Then he arose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart, but the young woman's father said, please refresh your heart. So they delayed until afternoon, and both of them ate. And when the man stood to depart, and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the young woman's father said to him, look, the day is now drawing toward evening. Please spend the night. See, the day is coming to an end. Lodge here, that your heart may be merry tomorrow. Go your way early so that you may get home. However, the man was not willing to spend the night. So he rose and departed and came opposite Jebus, that is Jerusalem. With him were the two saddled donkeys. His concubine was also with him. They were near Jebus, and the day was far spent. And the servant said to his mother, come, please, and let us turn aside into the city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. But his master said to him, we will not turn aside here into a city of foreigners who are not of the children of Israel. We will go on to Geba. So he said to his servants, come, let us draw near to one of the places and spend the night in Geba or Ramah. And they passed by and went their way. And the sun went down on them near Geba, which belongs to Benjamin. They turned aside there to go in to lodge in Geba. And when he went in, he sat down in the open square of the city, for no one would take them into his house to spend the night. Just then an old man came in from his work in the field at evening, who also was from the mountains of Dan in Geba, whereas the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he raised his eyes, he saw the traveler in the open square of the city. And the old man said, where are you going, and where do you come from? So he said to him, we are passing from Bethlehem in Judah toward the remote mountains of Ephraim. I am from there. I went to Bethlehem in Judah, and now I am going to the house of the Lord. But there is no one who will take me into his house, although we have both straw and fodder for our donkey and bread and wine for myself, for your female servant, and for the young men who is with your servant. There is no lack of anything. And the old man said, peace be with you. However, let all your needs be my responsibility. Only do not spend the night in the open square. So he brought him into his house and gave fodder to the donkeys, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. As they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of this city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the man who came to your house that we may know him carnally. Wow. Doesn't that sound familiar? That sounds like the story of Lot. Sin was then, and sin is now, and sin is today. So yesterday, today, and forevermore, sin is sin. And it goes on to say, but the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, no, my brother, I beg you, do not act so wickedly. Seeing this man is coming to my house, do not commit this outrage. Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now. Humble them and do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing. But the men would not heed him. So the man took his concubine and brought her out to them. And they knew her and abused her all night until morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. Then the woman came as the day was dawning and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was till it was light. When her master arose in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way, there was his concubine fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, get up and let us be going. But there was no answer. So the man lifted her onto the donkey, and the man got on and went to his place. When he entered his house, he took a knife, laid hold of his concubine, and divided her into 12 pieces limb by limb and center throughout all the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw this, no such deed, oh my, has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came from the land of Egypt until this day. Consider it, confer and speak up, oh my, but not taking any responsibility himself. He's the one that took her outside to keep himself from being molested or raped, as you want to call it, what it was. He put her in that position. He did it. But yet, he's going to blame everybody else when he should be, he's just as culpable for her murder. Because that's what it was. It was a murder. But as we go back and look at some life lessons, the first was from Judges 18 and 30. The children of Dan set up for themselves the carved images. The tribe of Dan held fast to its idolatry all the way until the exile. God patiently waited centuries for them to repent, but they never did. This may explain why Dan is missing from the list of tribes in Revelation. And we'll get to that. We'll remember that Dan is missing. Judges 19 and 25 says, the man took his concubine and brought her out to them. When everyone does what is right in his own eyes, before long, moral conditions sink to the perverted level of Sodom. We need the word of God to show us the right way. And we know what happened to Sodom. And these Benjamites, you know, as they do what they're doing, which is evil in the sight of God, they know what they're doing is wrong, but they are continuing to do it. They're continuing not to do what God had called them to do. We are a little longer today because we're getting caught up. So we will be until 8:30 or until we get finished with our lesson and are back on track. Then we'll be done today. So that's why we're still going over a little bit. Now we're going to go into chapter 20 and 21 of Judges to finish this story because, again, this is some serious stuff, Sodom and Gomorrah stuff. And now this man is cut, his concubine, into pieces and sent her out to the 12 tribes. And this is what it says. So all the children of Israel came out from Dan to Beersheba, as well as from the land of Gilead, and the congregation gathered together as one man before the Lord at Mizpah. And the leaders of the people, all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 foot soldiers who drew the sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel had gone up to Mizpah. Then the children of Israel said, tell us, how did this wicked deed happen? So the Levites, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, my concubine and I went into Geba, which belongs to Benjamin, to spend the night. And the men of Geba arose against me and surrounded the house at night because of me. They intended to kill me, but instead they ravished my concubine so that she died. So I took hold of my concubine, cut her in pieces, sent her throughout all the territory of the inheritance of Israel because they committed lewdness and outrage in Israel. Look, all of you, our children of Israel, give your advice and counsel here and now. I don't know. I think this guy was a hot mess, personally. And I think in my heart, this is me. Yes, God chose him. But understand, some stuff is about to go down in this story that is not good for the Benjamites. Because of a few bad apples, the whole nation is going to suffer. I told y'all it was a great word this morning. So all the people arose as one man, saying, none of us will go into his tent, nor will any turn back to his house. But now this is the thing which we will do together. We will go up against it by lot. We will take 10 men out of every 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, 100 out of every 1,000, and 1,000 out of every 10,000, to make provisions for the people, that when they come together into Geba in Benjamin, they may repay all the vileness that they have done in Israel. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, united together as one man. Then the tribes of Israel sent men throughout all the tribes of Benjamin, saying, "What is this wickedness that has occurred among you? Now therefore deliver up the men, the perverted men who are in Geba, that we may put them to death and remove the evil from Israel." But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brother, the children of Israel. Instead, the children of Benjamin gathered together from their cities in Geba, to go to battle against the children of Israel. And from their cities at that time, the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Geba, who numbered 700 select men. Among all these people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Now, besides Benjamin, the men of Israel numbered 400,000 men who drew the sword. All of these were men of war. Then the children of Israel rose and went up to the house of God to inquire of God. They said, "Which of us shall go up to battle against the children of Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Judah first." So the children of Israel rose in the morning and encamped against Geba. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in battle array to fight against them at Geba. Then the children of Benjamin came out of Geba on that day, cut down to the ground 22,000 men of the Israelites. And the people, that is, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and again formed the battle line at the place where they had put themselves in array on the first day. Then the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, "Shall I again draw near for battle against the children of my brother Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Go up against them." So the children of Israel approached the children of Benjamin on the second day. Goes on to say, getting a little tickle in my throat. "Go up against him." So the children of Israel approached the children of Benjamin on the second day, and Benjamin went out against them from Geba on the second day and cut down to the ground 18,000 more of the children of Israel. All these drew the sword. Then all the children of Israel, that is, all the people, went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. The ark of the covenant of God was there in those days, and Phinehas, the son of Elijah, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, "Shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease?" And the Lord said, "Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand." Then Israel sat men in ambush all around Geba, and the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in battle array against Geba as the other times. So the children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. They began to strike down and kill some of the people as at the other times in the highways, one of which goes up to Bethel and the other to Geba. And in the field, about 30 men of Israel. And the children of Benjamin said, "They are defeated before us as at first." But the children of Israel said, "Let us flee and draw them away from the city to the highways." So all the men of Israel rose from their places and put themselves in battle array at Baal Tamar. Then Israel's men in ambush burst from their positions in the plains of Geba. and 10,000 select men from all Israel came against Geba, and the battle was fierce. But the Benjamites did not know the disaster was upon them. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed that day 25,100 Benjamites, all of these drew his sword. So the children of Benjamin saw that they were defeated. The men of Israel had given ground to the Benjamites. They relied on the men in ambush whom they had set against Geba, and the men in ambush quickly rushed upon Geba. The men in ambush spread out and struck the whole city with the edge of the sword. Now the appointed signal between the men of Israel and the men in ambush was that they would make a great cloud of smoke rise up from the city, whereupon the men of Israel would turn in battle. Now Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 of the men of Israel, for they said, surely they are defeated before us as in the first battle. But when the cloud began to rise from the city in a column of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them. I'm just listening to this. They rose up against them. Understanding Benjamin had won, and they thought they had it going on. They're like, we got this thing. We done beat them twice. We can beat them again. But now the children of Israel, what do? They inquired of God. And before we do anything of importance, we must inquire of God, because it is God that chooses whom we will give the glory. And he was not going to give it to Benjamin. And this is what it says. Now Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 of the men of Israel, for they said, surely they are defeated before us as in the first battle. But when the cloud began to rise from the city in a column of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them, and there was the whole city going up in smoke to heaven. And when the men of Israel turned back, the men of Benjamin panicked, for they saw that disaster had come upon them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel in the direction of the wilderness, but the battle overtook them, and whoever came out of the city they destroyed in their midst. They surrounded the Benjamites, chased them, and easily trampled them down as far as the front of Geba toward the east, and 1,000 men of Benjamin fell. All these were men of valor. Then they turned and fled toward the wilderness, the rock of Ramah, and they cut down 5,000 of them on the highways. Then they pursued them relentless up to Gidom and killed 2,000 of them. So all who fell at Benjamin that day were 25,000 men who drew the sword. All these were men of valor, but 600 men turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Ramah, and they stayed at the rock of Ramah for 4 months. And the men of Israel turned back against the children of Benjamin and struck them down with the edge of the sword from every city. Men and beasts, all who were found, they also set fire to all the cities. 21 of Judges. And it says, now the men of Israel have sworn an oath at Mizpah, saying, none of us shall give his daughter to Benjamin as a wife. Then the people came to the house of God and remained there before God till evening. They lifted up their voices and wept bitterly and said, O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel, that today there shall be one tribe missing in Israel? So it was on the next morning that the people rose early and built an altar there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And it says, and the children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up with the assembly to the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning anyone who had not come up to the Lord in Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. And the children of Israel grieved for Benjamin, their brother, and said, one tribe is cut off from Israel today. What shall we do for wives, for those who remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them our daughters as wives. And they said, what one is there from the tribe of Israel who did not come up to Mizpah to the Lord? And in fact, no one had come up to the camp from Gibeah Gilead to assembly. For when the people were counted, indeed, not one of the inhabitants of Gibeah Gilead were there. So the congregation sent out there 12,000 of their most valiant men and commanded them, saying, go and strike the inhabitants of Gibeah Gilead with the edge of the sword, including the women and children. This is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman who has known a man intimately. So they found among the inhabitants of Gibeah Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man intimately, and they brought them to the camp of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. Then the whole congregation sent word to the children of Benjamin, who were at the Rock of Ramon, and announced peace to them. So Benjamin came back at that time, and they gave them the women whom they had saved alive of the women of Gibeah Gilead. They had not found enough for them. And the people grieved for Benjamin because the Lord had made a void in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, what shall we do for wives for those who remain, since the women of Benjamin have been destroyed? And they said, there must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin, that a tribe may not be destroyed from Israel. However, we cannot give them wives from our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn an oath, saying, cursed be the one who gives his wife to Benjamin. Then they said, in fact, there is a yearly feast of the Lord at Shiloh, which is near Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem and south to Lebanon. Therefore, they instructed the children of Benjamin, saying, go lie and wait in the vineyard and watch. And just when the daughters of Shiloh come out to perform their dances, then come out from the vineyard and every man catch a wife from the daughters of Shiloh, then go to the land of Benjamin. And it shall be when their fathers or their brothers come up to complain that we will say to them, be kind to them for our sake, because we did not take a wife for any of them in the war. For it is not as though you have given the women to them at this time, making yourselves guilty of your oath. And the children of Benjamin did so. They took enough wives for the number from those who danced, whom they caught. Then they went and returned to their inheritance, and they rebuilt the cities and dwelt in them. So the children of Israel departed from there. At that time, every man to his tribe and family, they went out from there, every man to his inheritance. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own sight. They all did what was right in their own sight. Not what was right to God, but was right in their own sight. And so on tomorrow, we will be catching back up with Luke. We'll be in Luke chapter 19, as well as going back and doing some Psalms, as well as our word in Judges. So we are pretty much, ladies and gentlemen, caught up. Thank you for working with me with my hoarse voice today, but I know that God is in control and that all of it will work out for our good. We are all caught up in our New Testament word, but I do have a few Psalms to hit, to go over today before we wrap it up. Psalms 51, 1 through 6. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me know, be known, make me to know wisdom. And this was a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So David was repenting of his adultery. And this is what it says in a case study of repentance. What happens when we sin and delay our repentance? Are there consequences? When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he didn't repent immediately. Only sometimes later did David admit his sin. Even then, he didn't do it on his own accord. God had to send a prophet to confront him, 2 Samuel 12:1-14. Only after Nathan's visit did David confess his sin and then repent to God. God's discipline follows in a severe form, perhaps so severe because of David's failure to repent sooner. If you and I deal with our sin genuinely, openly, and immediately, God can lessen the severity of our discipline. You're right. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. This makes sense in the light of the nature of discipline. Discipline is designed to get us to change, to obey. If God sees that we want to cooperate, that we have proposed in our hearts to obey the next time, then stern discipline is not usually needed. God does not play. He tells you what he's going to do, and he does what he says because he's God, and he wants us to be better. He wants us to be better today than we were yesterday. And I love this word. It says this, Psalms 51:4, against you, you only have I sinned. David had sinned against Uriah by committing adultery with his wife and plotting his murder. He had sinned against Bathsheba. He had sinned against his people. Yet all sin is ultimately against God and requires his forgiveness. And a proverb this morning, Proverbs 14:31-32. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. Him has mercy on the needy. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. And that is our word for this morning. We have been in Judges. We have talked about Samson and Delilah and Samson's wife. We have also talked about the Benjamites, who was acting like Sodomites, who were not doing what was right. And God destroyed most of Benjamin. And those are the things that we have read today. But I want to go 51:7-11 real quick. And it says this, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And that is our word this morning. I thank you for listening in today. We will also be a little bit longer tomorrow until we are completely caught up, and that will be on Thursday. We'll be back to our normal time. And doing things the way we always have done them. So I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank you for listening in this morning. As we are back together again, I am so grateful for each of you. I thank God for you, and I ask him to continuously watch over each of you. Thank you for just being with me today and, oh my, letting us go forth in a word from God. So as we continue, I was looking for a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and we're just going to go back over a few words from her from last Thursday. So Thursday's word was this: good morning. Don't give up on a good tomorrow because of a bad yesterday. God can make all things new. Come on now. Have a transforming Thursday. And on Friday, God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. And she said, have a fantastic Friday. I pray that you did. I had a fantastic. And last Saturday was this: good morning. I pray that the peace of God fills your home today and that the calm presence and comfort of the Holy Spirit reside with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a super Saturday. Again, a great word. And our Sunday word was this: good morning. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by its understanding, it is established. Proverbs 24:3. Have a blessed Sunday. And our word for this morning is, good morning. Everything will not always seem like it's going right, but trust God. He has it all worked out. Have a marvelous Monday, family. And as always, I thank you. I praise God for you. And I just say again, God chooses to use for his glory. It may not be the best person, but it's the person that is chosen by God. Keep your family in your prayers. Take care of each other. Love each other. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And please keep me in your prayers as I deal with the sinus issue that I have right now. But I know that I do what I do for God. And I thank you all for listening in. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap. Have a great day.